Steve. Thanks. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. It's Monday. Wendy back from a triumphant weekend where
triumphant?
She accepted several awards.
Just one.
Still, it was pretty good.
It was pretty awesome.
Your plaque looked very nice.
Thank you very much. Riverside Brookfield High School, class of 1981. It did take them a while.
They didn't dip your head in bronze at all?
No, they didn't. I don't know, because someone has to nominate you, someone who is not in the school. Or not in your family. I don't know how it works.
Someone who's both not in your family or your school has to say to the school, enough of this nonsense. Wendy should be in this Hall of Fame.
It can't be a family member. Which is good because they never nominated
me
anyway.
Right.
You got to count on the friends.
And there was some controversy last week when we discussed this that David Hasselhoff was on that Wall of Fame, but he's not on that.
No, he's at Lyons Township,
right.
Yes.
Who is the most, would you say, other than yourself, who would you say is the most prominent person on this Hall of Fame for RV High School?
I will probably miss a lot of people, but I knew you would ask me that.
And yeah.
So I found someone that you would be 100% interested in.
All right.
There's a guy that I remember actually from junior high who was a couple years older than me named Bill Daly, who went on to write for The Frasier Show and also for Wisteria Lane. What was that show? Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. Well,
so he's
impressive.
A television writer.
Yeah.
Greg Potter, who is an awesome drummer who played with Steve Dahl's Teenage Radiation and now currently plays with the Buddy Rich Orchestra, is up there.
Uh-huh.
And he has better hair than me.
Oh.
So thanks, Greg.
Do you get points for having good hair in this particular Walk of Fame? Hall of Fame? No?
No.
All right.
There are a lot of doctors and two very high-powered attorneys were nominated with me in this particular class, Andy Texan and Bill Latham and Gwen Karchi, who is, I believe, a doctor. So I felt really stupid being
doctors.
Up with. And John Clark, who totally put together is a family business of Clark Mosquito Abatement that has been around forever. And they have been instrumental in stopping the Zika virus from moving on. So I felt really stupid going up after that going, hi.
Well, you came down very hard on the Zika virus, I remember, at the time. So
I wasn't a fan.
No, I remember that. You were very outspoken about your hatred of the Zika virus. We're all very proud of you. This is a big achievement.
I will tell you, more fun than getting inducted was talking to the classes the next day, which I was really
nervous about.
It was the Clarion newspaper, and I'm telling you, when we were at RB, the Clarion was maybe three pages, and it was like, you know, football news, who won the chess club match, and I don't know, who had the best homecoming dress, maybe. Now it's like they're covering everything.
Really?
They're covering transgender bathrooms. They're really covering everything. And some of the kids asked if I remembered. It was homecoming weekend.
Yeah.
I hope RB won against Wheaton. Wheaton's not good. And they asked if I remembered homecoming, and I said, yeah, and the biggest change is when we went to homecoming, we had to bring a date.
Yeah.
And the kids were like, what do you mean? How did they police that? And I said, well, you had to fill out a form. You had to buy tickets at the office. You had to fill out
in groups of two.
Yeah, you had to fill out a form of who you were bringing. If it was someone from out of the school, you had to have them sign a permission slip.
Right.
And they said, well, how did they know that did you have to walk in arm in arm? And I said, basically, yes, you did. And I said, to me, that was the school pushing you to hook up.
And
they all laughed.
And all the teachers looked embarrassed. Oh, I knew we shouldn't have elected her to the Hall of Fame with this dirty talk.
No, Mr. Helgeson was the greatest teacher.
I bet she liked the Zika virus.
But they couldn't understand that. They couldn't understand because now they can go
as
a group.
Sure, in a group or by yourself or in a disguise, whatever you want.
And I said, you know, let me ask you, can two guys go as a couple to the homecoming dance, or for instance, two girls? And they all looked at me and said, yeah.
Yeah.
And then some kid raised their hand and said, what would have happened if two guys or two girls were a couple and showed up when you were going to school? And I said, whoever was policing the door would have fallen off their chair.
Right.
Because that's just
complete Armageddon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
progress,
they really.
Progress, right?
Oh,
that's progress.
Totally.
Good. It's progress, I also say, with the newspaper, the fact, because everybody's high school newspaper was just like a throwaway. You know, and now there's a concerted effort to make it interesting, to make it relevant, and that's important.
They are so engaged. I mean, seriously, you know, a lot of them big Bernie Sanders supporters.
Sure.
They really got into the election when it was happening, even though many of them weren't at a voting age yet.
Yeah.
And they also had a couple of kids in each class that covered the school board meeting. And I said, how exciting was that? And they're like, not so much.
No, it never is.
But they got behind the scenes. It's like we go to school every day and we don't know, you know, what goes, how they manage a budget. We don't know that. But they did spend 5 hours talking about copy paper. So we learned about that.
It's good. Time well spent.
But it's just so good to see these kids really. I mean, really, we went to high school. We went through the motions. We had fun.
Yeah.
It was way different than these kids are now. I mean, they're getting a great education and they're also so 100% engaged in what's going on in the world. I loved to see that.
Their questions were good. They asked smart questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did. They asked, how could you work with that guy, Bill Leff,
every day?
They
said that out loud. That's infuriating. They were forced to listen to our show so that they would know a little bit about what you do, right?
Yes.
The teacher forced them.
He didn't force them. He said, I'd like you guys to listen, and they all did.
Yeah.
They were just really cool.
What was their impression? Because I don't know that high school kids, I mean... I'm sure there are a couple of high school kids that listen to us, but the show isn't geared toward high school kids. Were they happy with what they heard?
Not one kid was on their phone when I was talking.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a tribute.
Not one kid.
That's a huge tribute.
And wow. They seem to enjoy it, and, you know, they're probably smarter than we are.
Not probably. Definitely.
I did not ask for a critique of our show, and I'm happy I didn't. But it was thanks to Riverside Brookfield High School. It was really amazing. Really fun.
I hear that they love Hochberg over there, that they want more David Hochberg. That's what I'm hearing. Is that true? Can you confirm that or deny that?
I'll confirm it.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Are you in the mood for some bizarre audio? Would you like a little bizarre audio on this Monday
There's been
morning?
A lot of it going around, so yes, I would
right.
like to.
As you know, the weekend was kind of tumultuous for the president because of some comments that he made regarding players and their right to either kneel down or not stand up or not salute during the national anthem. So that kind of took center stage throughout the weekend. Because that was so prominent, there was another moment from Donald Trump that really didn't get much attention, but I would love to share it with you. Here's what it was. He goes to Florida to speak to first responders after the hurricane to let them know that the job that they did was a good one and an important one. And he's standing there. And with him is Mike Pence to his left, wait, to his right, I'm sorry, and Melania, his wife, to his left. So he goes up and he's, like I said, addressing the first responders. And it got a little weird for a second, and here's where it did get weird. Listen.
But I just want to thank everybody, the first responders, on behalf of myself, our vice president. Melania really wanted to be with us. She's really... It's really touched her heart what's gone on. And we've seen the devastation. We're going to see some more of it now.
Now, you can stop it there, Kevin. Now, let me remind you, Mike Pence is on one side, Melania is on the other. They walked out there together. They probably traveled together, but he somehow forgot that she was there.
I think he meant, you know, Melania really wanted to be with us today. That's why she's here. I think it was because, come on.
I've heard several people say exactly what you said.
Because he can't be. Come on.
It's just worded so bizarrely. And he doesn't look like, he doesn't even look over at all to see if she is there or if it's somebody who kind of looks like her. And she even, there's a woman standing on the other side, and she even looks at this woman like, I'm here, right? And the woman has to nod and go, yeah, you're here. You came in with him.
It sounded wrong and funny for us. There was another thing, and I don't know, maybe Steve is aware of this. I can't remember where Melania was at a podium and introduced Donald Trump. I showed you the video,
Bill. I've seen it. I love it.
And then he comes up, and instead of kissing her, he shakes her hand and says, thank you very much, and then moves his arm to her upper back and kind of almost pushes her away. Like,
you're done.
Thank you very much. Okay, now get out of here.
You're done.
I don't recall what that was for, but she introduced him. And why wouldn't he kiss her at least on the cheek?
He shook
her hand.
I know. He shook her hand as though it were a business deal. And it may be. It could very well end up, at some point we'll find out that this whole thing was a business deal. That's what I expect will happen at some point.
Even Bill would, even Hillary would have kissed Bill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In that situation. For some reason, and I'm stating the obvious here, because if you've followed the exploits of President Trump over the last several months, you already know this. He has a very hard time with not only introductions, but any kind of
social situation.
Yeah, the skills that you're supposed to have, like when to shake hands, when to stop shaking hands, when to draw somebody in, when to not, like he always seems to get that wrong. There's never a time where it's a smooth transition where it's like, okay, I'm a world leader, you're a world leader, quick, brisk handshake, and then on to bit. He'll hold somebody too long or too close, or then he won't respond at all.
He'll give him a wacky nickname.
Yeah, sometimes he gets the wacky nickname thing going. Yeah, for some reason, I don't know, maybe he missed a day of elocution school, but he doesn't seem to be able to swing that for some weird reason.
He hasn't had to.
Well, normally what happens, because he's the CEO of his company, is people come in and they bow down to him and they kiss his ring and then they get on to the meeting. So now where you're supposed to do it on sort of a more equal term, he just doesn't seem to know how to do it.
I don't know what to tell you.
He only has 3.5 more years to perfect it. So I'm sure at some point it'll start working for him. I'm positive.
What if he wins again? He's already campaigning.
Kevin, my heart medication, do you have that? Can you bring that in?
I mean, what if he wins again? And, you know, I have started watching the Vietnam War, the Ken Burns documentary on PBS. And I'm watching, and they're talking about leaders of the North and South Vietnamese. I am really learning a lot. And then it's kind of freaking me out with what's going on with Korea right now. Mm-hmm. It really is. And that's a big concern of mine. And, you know, if someone wants to take a knee, I don't think they're an SOB.
No.
I wouldn't take a knee.
Nor should they be fired.
No.
Right.
And who was it? Whose mom? Was it Colin Kaepernick's mom that tweeted something out? I heard it on the Steve Cochran show that, you know, if my son is an SOB, that makes me a really proud B, and said her full word.
Right. That phrase, SOB, is really more a slam on your mom than it is on you.
I know.
It really is. So I'm glad she defended herself that way.
But can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you were on the Bears, I know you would have been the one showboating, and someone would have peanut punched the ball out of your hand.
That's fine.
It hasn't come to that yet, right? You're not on the Bears.
I'm not on the Bears as of today, no.
All right. Well, it was a surprising win. There, I said it.
Yes, it was.
And if you were on the Steelers,
yes,
would you have come out like the one guy that did? That I can't remember
right,
his name.
I didn't see the beginning of the game. I heard a little pregame where they were both, several stations in town were kind of speculating as to what would happen, because I think they'd already announced that more than likely the Steelers would not be out on the field for the national anthem, but that the Bears would, and that the Bears had something planned that would show unity, but they wouldn't say what it was.
And that was the interlocking of arms.
That was the interlocking of the arms. Yeah.
So was that a protest? Was that just showing a unification?
That was their way of saying, we as a team stand together.
Right. We sons of bitches.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's what
right.
It was, kind of.
It was exactly that.
You can call us what you want or
right.
Say that, you know, it's not a dangerous game anymore, but we're standing together and won't be divided.
All right. And Alejandro Villanueva is the only Steeler player to come out. He's a former Ranger. Went to West Point, did some tours in Afghanistan, I believe, if my information is correct. And everyone in the Steelers was in the locker room. He was in the tunnel with his hand on his heart. And everybody's saluting him. And it comes to, I'm glad he did it. Had
so
that
he came
been
out all by himself?
Yes. So how does that play with the teammates? Does that go against what everybody's standing for? I admire him for doing it because I know everybody has the right to freedom of speech and they can do what they want. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it. So I'm happy he did that. I think it's a good thing. But does he get razzed now by his teammates? And did he break the...
Well, Mike Tomlin said after the game that they stayed in the locker room to protect everybody, the people who wanted to protest and the people who didn't.
Yeah.
So just because the players weren't out there doesn't mean they uniformly were going to take a knee, Tomlin's point was, look, we're not going to let this divide us. We got good people, to paraphrase him, we got good people behind me from every socioeconomic background, every culture. You know, we are good guys. That's what football is. And I'm not going to put my players in a position of having to suffer for saying something or suffer for not saying something. We're going to stay in the locker room.
All right. I like that better. And maybe some had their hands on their hearts in the locker room, but they were out of the situation.
Several coaches, NFL head coaches, said, if you come into our locker room, what you'll see is nothing but diversity. It's guys from every kind of background, every kind of racial makeup, all working together for the same common good of, you know, winning a game. And that's true. I mean, sadly, a lot of people are in work situations where it's not as diverse as an NFL team and maybe don't have that to draw on, but these guys do. And they do. It's a team, you know, and I'm sure it was very hard for them to hear the president say that if you try to stand up for something that I'm not standing up for, you should be fired or fined or have some kind of action taken against you. That's awful.
Again, it gets when your 14-year-old son, who's a freshman in high school, says that the president is acting like a 10-year-old on the playground.
Yeah.
That says something to me.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
And 14-year-olds remember what it was like. It wasn't that far away.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
All right, well, we'll talk about this throughout the day. We have Steve Dale coming up next because we are going to talk about pets who take a knee. And
right.
And in honor of, who was it, Marcus Cooper? Is that his name?
Who's Mark? Refresh my memory.
Is he the guy who was showboating?
Oh, the Pittsburgh Steeler?
No, the cool. Chicago Bear, who was going in for a full touchdown.
Oh, right. And he got the ball stripped at the half-yard line. Right.
Was that his name, Marcus Cooper?
I don't, you know, I have, sadly,
I'm trying
I have
to pay attention
as,
here.
I don't spend as much time watching the Bears as in years past.
Marcus Cooper. In honor of him, I think we should do the best show of our careers today. In the last 5 minutes, you should punch the microphone away from
okay.
me.
Okay. That's a good All game right. plan. All right, we'll play it that way. Stick around. There's a lot more coming your way next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Bark, bark, bark. Bark, bark, bark. Woof, woof, woof. Meow, meow, meow.
Wendy, cats and dogs are gathering at the window. I'm nervous. Maybe it's because of the song you're singing. Maybe it's because noted pet expert Steve Dale has joined us. Hello, Steve.
Hello, hello, hello.
You wanted to send some congratulations Wendy's way, so go for it.
Well, yeah, I think it's very cool. So I find out the news the way everyone finds out news these days, Facebook. Yeah. And there is a picture of you looking very beautiful and proud, and you have reason to be. When a high school, my high school doesn't even know I'm alive.
Oh,
so this
we
is
could
really
call
nice.
Them. Let's
so
call them
true.
On there.
Oh, no,
well.
I'm not looking. No. It's really, it's very nice. And I've been to that school.
Riverside Brookfield?
Yes.
Nobody
they had
beats
me.
The zoo.
Do they have a radios? They hate the zoo.
Nobody beats the zoo. That was our slogan because it's right next to Brookfield.
Right. And they had, you could actually smell the zoo as you walk through the hallways there, which is very special.
Those are just the freshman PE boys.
And did they have a radio station or something?
They have a television station.
Yeah, they interviewed me.
Cool.
Yeah. So I've actually been to the Wendy Snyder School.
It's not the Wendy Snyder School, although I would like them to change the name.
They
that's
should.
Next.
They will eventually change next. The name.
But thank you very much. It was an honor.
That's really nice.
Bill, you missed yesterday. Yesterday was a pretty important day.
Well, it was World Gorilla Day. Is that what you're referring to, Wendy?
Yes.
It was World Gorilla Day.
How do you know that?
Because I know stuff.
He celebrates it every year.
Every year.
Except
and
this
how,
year.
How do you celebrate a setup lying like you'll never get again? How do you celebrate World Gorilla Day?
Our loved ones gather together, join hands, and sing the Magilla Gorilla theme song. We've got a gorilla for sale. Magilla Gorilla for sale. Buy them, try them, take them home, and fry them. Gorilla for sale.
Fry them?
Yeah.
You don't How do you
fry
know
him?
That?
That's in the song.
You take him home and fry him?
That's what it says in the song.
That's not nice.
It's not nice.
Who played the part of OG? How much did they
A young Meryl Streep. A very young Meryl Streep.
Very young.
How did you celebrate World Gorilla Day, Steve?
I love the fact that I could throw anything at you when you come up with something funny. I don't know how you do it. I celebrated by writing a blog post and thinking back to when I had the honor of actually meeting mountain gorillas in person in Rwanda, Africa, in their homes where they live.
Mm-hmm. Did they have nice digs?
They have amazing digs. And this is the 50th anniversary. Do you remember all those National Geographic specials with Diane Fossey?
Yeah, sure.
And she'd whisper at the camera and say, And now behind me, you see a family of gorillas. And this is how it all began for her. The gorillas that are descendants of the gorillas that were on TV with her are still there. They're habituated to people, so they don't care that you're there or not. And tourist groups go up there, and I had the opportunity to do that. And that was one of the greatest things I've done in my life.
So there's no fear involved for you or the gorillas when you're that close? There's no fear at all?
Well, there's no fear from the gorillas' perspective because they could kill us instantly if they wanted to.
See, that equals fear in my book.
But I wasn't afraid. I was people who would do this voluntarily, who travel halfway across the world, pay good money to do it, probably are not going to be terrified of doing it. I mean, they want to do it.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, and it is a spiritual experience that's difficult to put into words. You're seeing yourself. So when you go to Africa and you see lions and zebra and various antelope species and all that, that's the way coolest thing.
Yeah.
But when you see gorillas, or for that matter, I've had the pleasure of seeing orangutans in the wild too, you're looking back at yourself. There's just something different about it.
Because they're shaped like us?
They are like us. So 99 or 98%, depending on the great ape species, of our genetics are the same.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so wild.
Yeah, yeah. Literally. So it truly is, and I'm not doing a very good job of putting it into words, but there you are. You're hiking in the Virunga Mountains. The path is cleared in some places, and some places it certainly is not. People walk ahead of you, the people who live there, with machetes, cutting down a path for you. You can walk for 15 minutes. You can walk for hours at a time before you find this family of gorillas. And they know where all the gorilla families are. You get there, you know you're there because you can kind of hear them in the background eat, munching on their bamboo food. And you can smell the gorillas too. But it's not a bad smell. It's not that zoo smell. It's just something. It's like a musky smell almost. And you know you're there.
They wear Jovan musk oil.
They do?
Mm-hmm. That's why. And you know you're there.
Jovan.
You put your food down that you have in your backpack, and you bring only your camera with you. When you go closer and you just wait and go behind some bushes, and suddenly 20 gorillas or 30 gorillas are right there.
What do they tell you not to do?
They tell you to stay 7 yards away from the gorillas. And they even have a measuring stick before you go to show you how far that is. Here's the problem. They tell us, nobody told the gorillas.
Oh.
So the gorillas sometimes get a lot closer than that. So at one point, for example, there was a gorilla right behind an adolescent male, right behind Robin, my wife.
Yeah.
And I said, just smile, look at me, I'll take a picture. Meanwhile, the gorilla, which was behind her in a tree, begins to climb down the tree onto her level.
Oh.
And she doesn't know this and reaches out for her purple headband and begins to pat her head a bit.
What does that mean?
I think it means what all adolescent males try to do. I don't know. And one of the guides, as I was taking the picture, so I got the pictures, and then the guide said something like, rrr, or something in gorilla language, which means maybe back off, guy. And he ran up the tree again and shook it, as many frustrated guys that age do, gorilla or people, I believe. I know how it feels. I was once a teenage guy.
Half the audience thought you were going to say you were once a gorilla. You know that, Steve, right? You know that.
That wouldn't be so bad.
So there was never a moment, there was not even a single moment where you were a little bit fearful of what was
going on. The best story. So there's a very famous pet book author and animal behaviorist, Patricia McConnell, who lives in Madison, Wisconsin. And she used to take groups, she and her husband, to Africa to see the gorillas. And there was this one group where the big male, as he grew up, wasn't his habituated to people. I don't remember why. And they said, okay, this is the group you're going to see. They split people up when you get there, and they decide which group of the gorillas that you're going to see. They only allow, I think, 10 or 12. I don't remember exactly how many people in a group. That's all. And you can only be there for an hour. So they hike up there. They get there. They're watching the gorillas, and this big male, and I mean big, we're talking, you know, 450 pounds, 500-pound gorilla, male silverback, and mountain gorillas are the biggest gorillas in the world by species, runs right up to him, beating his chest. And the rule is, if that happens, but it never does, but it did. But the rule is, if that happens, don't run. That's the only thing they tell you to answer your question.
That would
not
be hard
to
not to run if a
yes,
giant
but, yeah.
gorilla's up
I
beating
know.
His chest and, as he's running up
yes.
to you.
And he stood his ground, and he says he could feel the breath of the gorilla. He was inches away. The gorilla looked at him in the eye and walked off. And he held his ground. I don't know that I can do that.
I couldn't.
That's a one in a million type thing. It really doesn't happen. What more likely to happen, we watch over, so there are two reasons why the mountain gorillas are actually doing well. No other great ape species, I didn't know I was going to talk about all this, but I love it. No other great ape species is sadly, they're disappearing. Orangutan, the chimpanzees, the bonobo, and the other species of gorilla, of which there are three other species or subspecies, they're all disappearing fast. The mountain gorilla are holding their ground, and that's for one reason. That's ecotourism. So Rwanda and Uganda, two of the three nations they are found in, have figured it out. A couple of years ago in Rwanda, $250 million came into the economy to see 250 gorillas.
Hmm.
So that's about $1 million per gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
So that Jeez. Money has gone to help build schools for kids. It's helped to build infrastructure, and it has helped to feed people who live out in the country who are no longer starving, actually, because of ecotourism. So they figured it out very quickly. This is a good thing, and we ought to protect and celebrate, and they have become a national symbol, the gorillas, which they previously were not. The bad news is we're also the gorilla's biggest threat as tourists
yeah.
because if we sneeze, they can get sick.
Oh.
And because they live at a very high altitude and they don't have antibodies for any of our germs, which they can get because they are, as I said, related yeah. to us so closely. So they get everything we get. And theoretically, we can get anything they get if we're close enough.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen. But they get sick as a result of us. There are veterinarians up there that actually treat the gorillas.
That's amazing. Dogs can get sick, too. And we'll talk about the dogs that are being rescued from Texas as a result of the hurricane. And there will be dogs probably coming from Puerto Rico.
Ooh,
but we'll take a break
Senorita.
First. He's Steve Dale. If you would like to read his blog about World Gorilla Day, where do they find you?
SteveDale.tv, or just beat your chest.
we'll take a quick break and then more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And we are chatting with noted pet expert Steve Dale. And so some of the dogs have come already from Texas, and Puerto Rico is going to have a lot of problems. There's still people suffering, and I'm sure animals. So what do we need to know about this?
The question that I'm getting a lot is, well, can I help in Mexico? Actually, they've got it handled down there because I have friends down there, so I've been writing back and forth, and they're taking care of their own. The pet food companies locally have stepped up and helped, and it's not that there aren't issues down there, but they're dealing with it. The greater concern will be Puerto Rico because you've got all these. First of all, they had, before any of this happened, too many homeless animals. And there was
to begin with.
Yeah, they did. Oh. I mean, before this happened. And lots of street dogs and many, many cats that just outdoors and needed help. And they were sending these animals to the U.S., but now the need will be many times greater. I'm certain of that. And for the animals coming in, and we're going to have one tomorrow morning. On with Steve Cochran from the Anti-Cruelty Society at 9:05. A dog will be on who has heartworm disease. So this dog can't be. We typically do adoption segments, and the dog can be adopted out. This dog, you can say, you could hold up your paw and say, I want to adopt out the dog. But in the process now of being treated for heartworm, and the process has to finish. But what we are looking for is a foster home. The concern I have is you've got all these dogs coming up from places where there has been a lot of water. A lot of water. In addition to that, mosquitoes. So they're coming in with heartworm, and they're coming in with leptospirosis. Leptospirosis is a long word, hard to say. It's a bacterial infection that is found in water. People can get this too. And in third world countries, in fact, it is not uncommon for people to have leptospirosis. So where people bathe and do their business in the water, they can, or you have wildlife doing the same.
Right.
And you just accidentally put your hand to your mouth.
Is that what all the seagulls were doing in some of the time? You know, they won't
let
you
swim. That's salmonella. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but
what are the symptoms of this?
In dogs?
Yeah.
Leptospirosis. So here's the interest. That's a great question, because here's what's really interesting. On one end of the spectrum, some dogs virtually no symptoms, literally.
Yeah.
You know, you can't tell. And their system fights it. Mm-hmm. In other dogs, they die.
Jeez.
Their kidneys shut down and they die.
But if you have a dog that you fear may have it, what are
you looking for? It's just not doing well. So the dog is panting for no apparent reason, seems off its appetite, particularly a dog who typically loves to chow everything down.
Yeah.
And a dog that just seems off, in general, a good rule to see your veterinarian, but that's the beginning of it. And then it can go downhill from there. But as I say, other dogs just manage to fight it. The good news for dogs is there's a vaccine. And the vaccine is what I do for our dogs, because here in Chicago, without the influx, you say you do too, Wendy?
Yeah.
Without the influx of these animals from other areas even, we've got these things called rats. And rats are the number one in the city.
They're dirty rats.
Yeah, they contribute.
They killed my brother.
Wendy Cagney.
Even if your dog licks from a puddle or walks through a puddle and then licks his or her paws.
Yeah.
Potentially, if a rat did urinate in that puddle, now you've got a potential problem. Unless the dog is vaccinated.
We have a quick question, because you mentioned some of the animals that have been displaced and need homes from some of these world tragedies. Glenn, you had a question?
Yeah, Wendy. My marina had a fundraiser on our dock, and we wanted to find out how we can dedicate the money directly to the people who are doing the actual rescues from, like, either Harvey or Irma, instead of just to the Humane Society directly.
That's a great question.
Yeah, but it confuses me a bit. So it's the humane societies that are doing the rescuing.
That's true.
So I'm not sure. There are individuals out there that are real heroes that are doing it, but essentially they are organizations that are doing it. Locally, there are organizations, and the national groups, Humane Society of the United States, Best Friends, and American Humane Association are out there as well.
So you think those would be the best ways to be able to dedicate the funds then?
You know, it's a tough call. I'm increasingly, to be honest with you, just between us, a fan of giving locally, you know. But these national groups are doing amazing work. So there may be a way, and I don't know, to say this money has to be earmarked for animal rescue.
Do a little Googling on that, Glenn, because I bet you can find out who is responsible for a lot of these national campaigns.
Yeah, that's how we flagged it and got everyone to donate. We got like $700 donated one evening. The one evening of singing karaoke with a bunch of friends.
Well, so here's an idea. You guys are in Chicago, I take it, right?
Racine, Wisconsin.
Okay. So on the other end of it, there might be a shelter, I'm not sure, in Milwaukee. I know there are shelters, plural, in Chicago, who have taken in all these animals, and now they need financial help. As I just mentioned, they're treating the dogs for heartworm, for example, in big numbers. So they can use the help as well. So it's not only the organizations rescuing, but it's also potentially the organizations that have rescued, and they need the financial assistance.
Well, then it's a lot easier to make the donations if it's closer to.
Right, and you probably have a better handle on exactly where it's going. And as I say, there are many. I can't rattle them all off because I'll miss some, you know, for Chicago. But anti-cruelty is one we're having a dog on tomorrow morning.
Okay. And Glenn, Joanne has called in to help you out. Joanne, you know where to donate, what Glenn is looking for?
Yes, the local organization that has picked up the slack is the Division of Austin Alive, and they've named it Houston Alive. And those are the people who are picking up everything.
Yes, so if you still want to help out in Texas, I can verify. I'm well aware of them. Yes.
Houston Alive. Joanne, thank you for helping. Glenn, great work.
Thank you very much, guys. Good show.
Thank you. And you'll probably be easier to get them at Austin Alive.
Okay, and really quickly, 30 seconds, you have an upcoming Chicago Canine Rescue event.
Yeah, they're one of those organizations taking in dogs from elsewhere, an amazing organization that often takes those no one else will. Their big benefit is coming up October 7th. That is a walk through the neighborhood through Wrigleyville, begins at Southport and Newport Avenue, and dogs will be dressed as superheroes.
Oh, Bill, so, this is right up his alley.
I'm in it.
Yeah. It starts at 1 o'clock. And again, the event is the bigger event, 11 a.m. till 3 p.m. And you could check out their website. It is Chicago Canine Rescue for further information.
Excellent. Steve, if only there was a way people could find you on the web.
There is.
What?
It's amazing you ask.
How?
SteveDale.tv.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve. That's noted pet expert Steve Dale. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thanks, Steve. Christy McQuarrie will be joining us from the Chicago Tribune. She takes the place of Eric Zorn, who's usually in on Monday.
I thought you were going to say she takes the train.
She takes the she takes the cake.
My baby takes the morning
train. She works
train.
From 9 to 5, and then she takes it home again. all right. I hope nobody was disappointed by an incorrect guess that the world would be coming to an end on Saturday. The world, as it turns out, Wendy, did not come to an end.
How do you know?
I'm positive of it because I'm looking out the window and I see it. It's right outside there.
Maybe this is what heaven is like.
No, it's not.
It's a great studio.
It is a great studio, but I'm pretty sure heaven's not like this. All right, so it was predicted by this guy, David Mead, who used a bunch of numbers to determine that last Saturday of 2 days ago, would be the end of the world. He now says he got some of the numbers wrong, and don't get too happy because the end of the world, which was scheduled, according to David Mead, for Saturday, is now postponed. The makeup date is October 21st.
Well, that sucks. No trick-or-treating.
Yeah, it's just before Halloween, just 10 short days before Halloween, the end of the world.
So this went exactly as we had predicted.
Well, Kevin, you know, Kevin's anniversary was Saturday, and he was very upset because nothing ruins an anniversary more than having the world implode around you. You know that.
Right. So did you get a gift?
No.
Nobody got anything.
Just in case?
I got her a card.
Dylan is 14. He woke up early Saturday because he wanted to get a lot of stuff in before the world ended.
Oh, sure.
He's a teenager. He never gets up early on a Saturday morning. And he didn't believe it. No one really did. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking of it
for
a second.
Not for a second. Not even for a second.
I didn't.
Because guys do this every year. They go, based on what happened 1,000 years ago and based on numbers and based on plants and ducks and trees, the world's going to end Wednesday, and then it never does, and I'm thrilled that it isn't.
Me too. But, sometimes people say that. I mean, the Cubs won the World Series.
If it didn't end right then and there, it's not going to end.
Well, it's building up. I mean, Donald Trump is president. It's been so hot here. I mean, come on. I'm ready to make pot roast and put on my sweaters and hoodies.
That's the end of the world.
And what else? All the hurricanes going crazy and earthquakes.
Yeah, there's a lot of unusual activity, but it's nothing like this guy says. Here's a story out of MSN. Saturday passed without the world coming to an end, which you don't even have to really write, because if you're here reading this, you already know that.
That's a good point.
The doomsday writer, David Mead, claimed that the world would end on September 23rd, but is now saying it will end on October 21st. Christian numerologist David Mead predicted that September 23rd would be the date that a mysterious planet X would collide with the Earth based largely on verses and numerical codes in the Bible.
Now, this planet X is also called Nibiru or something like that, and Nibiru, and NASA has debunked this. NASA says there isn't that planet. So how can this guy continue to say this?
Well, also, planets don't move at a speed where we wouldn't be able to see it approaching us.
there would be definitely some movement that we would see. We'd be able to detect a planet coming that close to us, and nobody is seeing this except for David Mead somehow.
How do you divert a planet, an angry planet that is heading earthward? I mean, it's not, can you blow it up like the Death Star before it hits?
Nope.
Well, why are you saying no?
Because I'm a scientist, Wendy.
A, you're not. Two, we'd have to be able to intervene.
I don't know. As the day drew near, Mead backed off his prediction and said that he was misunderstood. Which is exactly what you do. When you make a grandiose prediction that has no possible way of coming true, that's what you guys misunderstood me. You misunderstood me. Fox 13, located in Salt Lake City, Utah, reported on Friday that Mead was expecting nothing to happen in September. Well, that's a huge difference. Why would you come forth and predict that? He predicted that the world would end, not that nothing would happen.
You're misunderstanding
him. I must have heard that incorrectly. The station reported that, according to the Washington Post, Mead says September 23rd is foretold in the Bible's book of Revelation as the day a series of catastrophic events will begin. However, the author has since clarified that October is actually the month of action, and 7 years of war and disaster will begin on October 21st.
Wow.
Seven
that scares
years.
Me more than the end of the world. 7 years?
Yeah, it's a long time. You would rather have Planet X just collide with us and call it a day than for this to be prolonged.
That's a tough one, but I don't know.
They both have their merits.
And as for Dylan getting up early to get a lot in before the end of the world, I got to be honest with you, I'd rather be sleeping when it happened.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Now he's going to have to do this every day for 7 years, if David Mead is correct. He'll have to get up early every day for 7 years and do things, because you never know which of these days of war will be the last day of war.
Yeah, but you know it's at least going to go 7 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You're misunderstanding him.
I always misunderstand David Mead. Is it possible at the end of October we may be about to enter into a 7-year tribulation period to be followed by a millennium of peace? Mead was quoted as saying.
That would be nice.
Yeah, a millennium of peace is a long time. So 7 bad years and then a whole lot of good years.
Would you take that?
Mm-mm.
7 years is a long time, man.
I might when I was younger, but now that I'm old and feeble, I would not.
You're not feeble yet.
Right. That's a mixed compliment. Thank you. NASA, on its website last week, dismissed the Planet X theory as a hoax. Now, who would you believe? NASA, who knows next to nothing, or David Mead, who's only been wrong once since we've been talking about him?
Again, tough call, but I'd have to go NASA here. They're not misunderstood.
No. Various people are predicting that the world will end on September 23rd. This is NASA's website speaking. I'm doing an impression. I'm like the Fred Trevelyan of NASA. Various people are predicting that the world will end September 23rd when another planet collides with the Earth. The planet in question, Nibiru, does not exist, so there will be no collision. Oh, is that how things work now?
Here's another thing Dylan said to me. What if NASA does know but doesn't want to alarm people, so they're just saying it doesn't exist?
That's a good question.
I said there's no way they would do that because this is exactly my answer. There would be one scientist that could not hold back that information.
Right.
And the reason he or she would come forward because then they'd name that explosion after them.
Right. And if this were a movie, that professor, that scientist, would be played by Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah.
I'm positive.
But there's no way that they would not tell us. That's their duty.
Somebody would tell us, even if the guys at NASA got together and said, this will cause such havoc. I know David Mead already knows it, but the rest of the world isn't sure of it, so we can't tell the world. There'd be one rogue scientist who'd go, enough of this nonsense, I'm telling them. There always is.
Who could keep that secret?
Not me.
I can't keep any secrets.
I'd tell everybody. NASA went on to say that the story of Nibiru has been around for years, as has the Days of Darkness tale, and is periodic, from time to time recycled.
It happens sometimes.
I can't say periodically, really?
Sometimes your mouth and brain don't work together.
Forget it. Sometimes this tale is recycled into new fables. So they're counting Mead's story as a new fable, one that was supposed to end on Saturday but will now end on October 21st. What kind of glasses do we wear for this? If you thought if you thought getting glasses for the eclipse was tough, end of the world glasses, forget it. You're not going to find
those.
Where
do I get those?
All right. We'll take a quick break.
I'm glad you're here, Bill.
I am too, periodically. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
The world did not end on Saturday. I was questioned by my youngest son. I want to get up early so I can get a lot of things in before the world ends. And then he says to me, what if there is this planet Nibiru, or Planet X as they call it, which shouldn't it be Planet N?
N for
Nibiru?
No, Planet X sounds more mysterious. I like Planet X.
I guess.
Planet N.
And Dylan said, what if the NASA scientists who debunked this by saying there is no planet like that, what if they know something catastrophic is going to happen, but they're just not telling us? And I said, well, no, there's going to be one scientist who wants to have it be like the
Jeff Goldblum.
Goldblum explosion.
I know the world's coming to an end, so what are we going to do? There must be something we can do. The whole world's just going to implode, Wendy. Everything gone in one burst.
Very good.
Thank you.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, Wendy. I'm sorry I have to pop a little bubble in your theory, because if that one scientist came forward and they would name the explosion after him, who would know it?
Oh, that's true, too.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
There you go with your logic.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right, Casey. Don't worry about it.
That's a good point.
Very good point, though. Yeah. Thanks, Casey.
Yeah, there wouldn't be anybody around to know it, so sorry.
No, that's all right.
Thanks for busting my bubble.
Well, you're already on the... You'd be in the Hall of Fame, so what do you care? I just feel bad for the rest of the world of science, Wendy, but you're already in the Hall of Fame. What, you didn't even
Thank
try
you,
to talk... You didn't talk your son out of this as he gets depressed, going,
he
I
wasn't
gotta get
depressed.
Up early?
He didn't believe it, but, you know, he's 14 years old, so, you know, you rolled your eyes, and I said, some people thought about it for a minute, and you shook your head like I didn't.
Not a second.
We're old and wise.
Really? Yeah.
We've been around these things before.
Yeah.
You know, a 14-year-old kid, there's in the back of your mind, you're going,
what if?
God, this would suck,
yeah.
You know?
Yes.
I got a bunch of Amazon games that are on their way. I haven't received them yet.
Right.
They think differently than we
right.
do.
Right, I understand
We've
that.
Experienced these crazy, misunderstood things before.
We're used to the disappointment of not having the world come to an end as predicted.
Don't say it like that. Again, it really scares me. Now there are more reports that North Korea is saying, let me get my alerts that came over, because North Korea's foreign minister says Trump's latest statement was, quote, a declaration of war against his country.
Yes.
These are the things that scare me, not Planet X.
Right. The realistic threats to our world, right?
Yeah.
Not the unrealistic a planet's going to collide with us that doesn't exist type threats.
This is not misunderstood. This is like both two world leaders flexing their muscle.
Yes.
And who wins in this arm wrestling match?
Yes, I know. I understand that. Can I quickly pay tribute to a student who I've now become a huge fan of?
Yes.
I had never heard of this guy until last night. Elijah Bowen is his name. He's a college student. He attends a school in Maryland called Anne Arundel Community College. His teacher, his professor said, we've got a big test coming up, and because it's our first test of the year, you're all allowed to put whatever information you want about the test on a 3x5 card, and you'll be able to have that 3x5 card with you during the test.
Both sides?
Not specified.
I bet yes.
I would imagine yes. So 3x5 is your standard index card, is it not?
Your smaller ones.
Right. So you could probably put, it doesn't say exactly what the subject of the test was in the story, but I bet you could fit a little bit of information. Like if it was state capitals, you could probably list most of them.
Well, this is a college, so this is going to be more than
a little more intense.
State capitals, that would be a waste
That's
of your time.
That's where I learned it my senior year in college, Wendy. I had no idea what any of the state capitals
I still don't know them.
So this kid that I love, Elijah Bowen, hears this. Oh, I get a 3x5 card? All right. And he gets a 3-foot by 5-foot card, and he puts everything that could possibly be on the test on the card, and did very well on the test.
Listen.
What?
That is pushing the envelope.
That's genius.
Or the index card in this case.
I would hire this kid for anything. That's a kid who thinks outside the box. That's a kid who hears what needs to be heard and then goes, but you said 3x5. You did not say inches. You did not say feet. You did not. He could add a 3-yard by 5-yard card. He could have had a billboard in them in there if it was 3x5.
So the teacher allowed this to happen?
Had to.
Well, didn't really have to.
There was a kid in one of my science classes. I remember we had to take a test on periodic tables.
You said it this time.
He found, no, periodically is the one I can't say. Oh. I can say periodic. He found a T-shirt somewhere that had all the periodic tables on it, and when it was time for the final, he wore that shirt, and the teacher couldn't do anything.
The teacher could have told him to turn it inside out.
Oh, maybe.
He totally could have, because if something offensive is on a T-shirt...
It wasn't offensive,
right,
though.
But that's...
It was knowledgeable. Turn your shirt inside out. It's too knowledgeable. There's a phrase you don't hear often.
What would stop a kid from writing all the answers to a test, like, right now on their shirt with a Sharpie?
Well, his argument was, it's just a shirt that my mom bought for me. I don't want to insult my mom. I get to wear the shirt.
Wow.
Yeah, genius.
What's that kid doing now?
I don't know.
Because I'd vote for him for president.
I know, he should be. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got news coming up in just a minute, and then Kristen McCreary of the Chicago Tribune joins us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Eric Zorn looks a lot better today.
Yes. Yes.
He's transitioning.
Yep. Kristen McCreary is here filling in for Eric Zorn. Kristen, of course, of the Chicago Tribune. Kristen, how are you? Thanks for coming
I'm
up.
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
All right. A couple of things. Thing number one. Wendy and I touched on this at the beginning of the show just a little bit. We saved most of it for you. It was a very controversial weekend in terms of President Trump and organized sports, not just the NFL, but other sports have also weighed in on this. Baseball to some extent, racing, auto racing
NASCAR.
To some extent. Yeah. So what do you make of all this, of what's going on? And you can give a little background if people don't know what we're referring to.
Oh, I bet everybody does. It was Trump, of course, over the weekend kind of ginned this up, going after NFL players, calling them SOBs, mm-hmm. saying they should be fired if they knelt during the national anthem during all the football games on Sunday. So then it was just a matter of who was going to do it and who wasn't. And, of course, the Bears played the Steelers, and the Steelers all stayed in the locker room except for one player. So I think this is really – it's becoming such a hot-button issue because you are combining – Trump, mm-hmm. who's controversial by himself, the mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter movement, which is how Colin Kaepernick began this whole kneeling during the national anthem in 2016, by the way, when Obama was still in office. But so you've got Black Lives Matter. You've got people who consider the flag and the anthem to be sacred. Mm-hmm. They've lost family members overseas. They find any like flag burning or protesting at military funerals, this is commensurate to that, you know, deciding to not stand and put your hand on your heart during the anthem. So it's just very personal. It's really emotional. You blend all of this together. And so everybody has an opinion about what happened and what should happen.
What do you make of this? Trump said that this is not racial, that this is out of disrespect for the country and for the flag. But it is racial. It started out racial anyway, and then it became something else.
It did. I mean, I think it's still racial. I think Colin Kaepernick, his issue was with specific police shootings.
Yeah.
Now, some of those, a couple of shootings that he cited when he decided to take a knee, well, first he sat on the bench, then he took a knee. Those were actually black. One of them, at least, was a black officer who killed a black citizen. But still, he felt that this was not a time to be, standing up and praising our country. The players who all took a knee on Sunday, some of them were interviewed, and they wanted to stand by him, first of all, because he's sort of been blacklisted from the NFL. He's now a free agent. No one's picking him up. And
no one will, I don't think.
No one will. But, we can talk about that more, too. But actions do have consequences. And if you're going to do something that controversial, there are consequences to that. The players on Sunday, most of them just talked about equality. The need for equality in this country, we're not there yet. And so as a group, I think about 20% of them team-wide either didn't participate or took a knee. Even some of the singers of the national anthem you saw knelt afterward. So they were booed. I heard at Soldier Field, named for soldiers,
yes,
that even Steeler fans were really embarrassed and rooting for the Bears when they at least got the first touchdown. That's what I heard.
I wonder if Donald Trump hadn't tweeted out the SOB stuff, if the Steelers would have come out on the field, because in my opinion, they were guests at our house. And if they want to do that at their own stadium, that's their own business. but all of a sudden timing was of the essence because of this tweet.
Right. And so it almost turned more into a, this is why it's so confusing. So they stayed in the locker room as a protest more to Trump, I think, really than the anthem or the flag or what the or the ideals of America, which is really what the anthem is about. And by staying in the locker room, they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to express their First Amendment rights because we live in this wonderful country of the United States of America. So it's just kind of a convoluted position to be taking. And, of course, Trump was saying, if you see this happen, get up and leave. He wanted the NFL to fire players. I mean, but to me, again, this is like typical Trump. He weighs in on everything. Why this particular issue, I think NFL players felt personally attacked. And he did, you know, he called some of them out by name, but called them SOBs. But to me, again, this is just Trump being bombastic, and there's a bigger issue here that this country needs to address.
So at a time where maybe his focus could have been on health care and maybe could have been about a potential conflict with North Korea, he was
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, certainly. Mm-hmm. But he spent the time worrying about whether or not NFL players should be fired or penalized for not standing during the national anthem.
He knew it was going to set off a huge storm. Of course he did. And I mean, Obama weighed in too. When Obama was president, Colin Kaepernick took the knee, and there was a lot of controversy about that. So the fact that he weighed in is not terribly surprising, given that A, it's Trump, he is the president, and the previous president weighed in also.
Sure.
But as Trump tends to be, he is bombastic. He is not artful in the way he speaks. He tries to rile his base. This was just a gasoline fire waiting for a match, and he became the match.
So NASCAR's stance on this was, if you don't stand during the national anthem and salute the flag, that you'll get fired.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
So why does NASCAR take a different stance than the NFL, do you think?
I think NASCAR's had a chance to reflect on how this is affecting the NFL. The NFL is suffering because of Colin Kaepernick.
It really
and
is.
Things that people, you know, it's not just the kneeling on Sunday. It's all the talk radio and the sports radio and all of these, the sports world weighing in on politics. Personally, I think that these are private organizations, and just like I work for the Tribune, if I can express my First Amendment rights,
sure.
I can say what I want, but there are repercussions to that. And the NFL is a private organization. NASCAR is a private organization. If you don't want to race for NASCAR because you don't want to stand for the national anthem, then you don't have to. You can go find a job elsewhere.
But let me prove to you, Donald Trump says this isn't about race, but I'll prove right now that it is about race. The NFL is far more diverse in its players and its coaches than NASCAR is, far more. So don't you think that enters into it to some extent?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think the National Football League, because of Colin Kaepernick, has taken on this cause first. They have been the most vocal and out there about it. And if you oppose or you find it offensive or you reject the idea that they are, you know, harming America and it's unpatriotic and that you're not supporting our military is one of the most diverse institutions
sure.
in this country. So I don't necessarily think you can make that straight line. Because people who are offended by this come from all races. I mean, the Steelers player who stood outside is of Spanish descent. His parents mm-hmm. were both, I think, from Spain. You are supporting the military, and the military is extremely, extremely mm-hmm. diverse. It's one of the few institutions that kind of cuts through race, class. So I don't think there's a straight line there.
And I want to mention his name, Alejandro Villanueva.
Correct.
He's the one. I just want to give him some credit. I like that he did that. I like people respecting the flag and the anthem. I do, but I understand the right of people to do what they want. I've never been in the service. I have a cousin who was in the service, and I just want to read what he wrote on Facebook. I was a soldier for 10 years and have friends that have given their all for our nation, a nation I love. If some people kneel during the national anthem because they think it will help bring attention to racial injustice, I don't understand how that disrespects our flag or our brothers and sisters that gave all. Be honest, how many people at home use the national anthem as a bathroom break or a time to refill the drink? Is that disrespecting our flag? I wouldn't have chosen to do what Kaepernick did, but it was a pretty darn effective way of starting a national conversation. Mm-hmm. And I commended my cousin for posting that.
Right. No, it's true. We're all offended about somebody taking a knee. I'm late to the White Sox game every, you know, I miss the anthem. Now, when I'm there, I do stop, walk over, find the flag, put my hand on it.
I do too.
I don't think it's too much to ask as an American to do that. I respect the rights of other people to protest, but like I said earlier, there are consequences for your actions, and that you can kneel, but you're going to get some pushback.
Don't you think the majority of these players have strong feelings on both sides? Yeah, they love the country and they love the flag and they know what the flag represents and they know what the national anthem represents. But at the same time, they're not happy with the way things are going in the country. So you're straddling a fence to some extent.
Sure. I mean, a lot of them have very different life experiences than
yep.
I do. So yep. So I understand that. That's what I mean. Like when they're kneeling, this wasn't really about necessarily the anthem or even...
They're not hating the country. They're not hating the
but
flag.
But I wish they would have found a different time to do it instead of at the anthem. I know, where do you go that's going to get this attention? But I wish, like, I don't know, there was a moment of silence after the anthem where they could kneel down and show their displeasure of the way the racial injustice
and now
is.
A moment of displeasure.
Well, you know what I mean? I know Gillette. That it couldn't happen that way, but I just wish there would have been a different
a
way.
A nicer way.
a way that wouldn't be against the national anthem.
Right. I mean, I'm with you. I find the anthem to be, you know, sacred. I do.
And I still cry when I hear it.
I do too. When the vets walk down a parade route and I'm at some little suburb watching a parade, I get very emotional.
Every time.
So I'm bringing that baggage with me to this moment as well, just like other people who've had different life experiences are bringing
sure.
their baggage to that moment.
I cry at every parade when I do. You're laughing
I know you
at
do.
Me.
I've seen you do
I
it.
I really do. When I see that flag, yeah. I cry. Yeah.
Well, I also... So my dad is very involved in mission relief in Haiti. He's yeah. in Haiti right now. And I went to Haiti with him 2 years ago. And so just to see the different experiences that people have on this planet, the fact that you're born in the United States is really a gift. We don't wake up having to suffer the way that other people suffer. And so that just being born here, I think is something to be grateful for. So I have a hard time,
yeah.
even with these NFL players and whatever life experiences they've had, which I'm sure have been more difficult. They are now in the NFL. They are getting paid multi-million-dollar
yeah.
contracts. And just a moment of reflection is, I think, what some of us are all we're asking
sure.
for.
I bet in Haiti they can't believe that this is bothering, that this is even a topic in the United States, whether
I mean,
or not guys are standing or sitting or kneeling during the national anthem.
No, I mean, they don't even have
going through.
They don't have electricity in Haiti.
Right.
They don't have running water. They don't have a government that can provide them anything, safety,
yeah.
garbage removal, nothing. They wake up every morning trying to figure out how they're going to eat and get clean water, you know, to their kids. So that weighs in, that again, when I talk about, that's the baggage that I bring
sure.
to this moment too. But yeah, and the flag, people around the world, they appreciate our flag. You know, I read a lot from a couple Syrian refugees when we first did not go in and protect Syria,
mm-hmm.
and how they were waiting for troops and they were waiting for the flag and they were waiting for some sort of intervention from us, and it never came. So stomping on the flag is, you know, and also grade school. I don't know if your grade school was, you did the Pledge of Allegiance every day.
Right.
You learned how to care for the flag. You know how you
the
fold
folding,
it.
Yeah.
Can't touch the ground.
Right. It was just, it was in, you know, it's ingrained in us.
Right.
So it's kind of counterintuitive to see it.
And real quickly, somebody said you're not saying the other side of it. I did with my cousin being a veteran. And the very first time this came up with Colin Kaepernick, there were vets that were calling saying, I don't know that I love it, but it's not disrespectful. I fought for the freedom to do what you want as well.
His catcher with the Oakland A's comes from a military family. He was the first baseball player to take a knee the other day. And he said, my whole family is involved in the military. Nobody understands this more than me, but we need to recognize that everybody's not being treated equal in the country right now.
I completely agree, and I think that's a point that gets lost. I think what these players are doing is also very American.
Yeah.
But they are allowed to do it because of the freedoms and the protections that the military
sure.
have yep. offered us. That you can't, in another country, you disrespect your president, you disrespect your flag.
Cut your head off.
They'll cut your head off. So I agree with the callers too. What they're doing is very American. They're expressing themselves. It's protected. But if you're going to take a stand like that, there will be pushback.
No doubt about it. Chris McQuarrie is here from the Chicago Tribune. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Kristen McQuarrie is here from the Chicago Tribune, and we're talking about the big controversy over the weekend. Donald Trump calling the NFL players out, calling them some very nasty names, and saying they should be fired or penalized for their actions.
SOB, and Colin Kaepernick's mother tweeted out, "Then that makes me a very proud B." And put the whole word out there. Hmm. Some calls here. Jan wants to jump in. Hi, Jan. We're talking with Kristen McQuarrie.
My first point is you should read an article that an ESPN writer wrote about why do we sing the national anthem. And I think then you'll get some facts about it, and it's not all this patriotic stuff that we're talking about. And I'm about as straight air and about as patriotic as there is, but if you listen to those last two lines, the home of the brave and the land of the brave or the home of the free or whatever, it's absolutely our brave to put your knee down. It's really brave. It's brave for me to call into this radio station. It's brave for me to write an article to the newspaper. And, yes, in other countries you might get killed because of putting a knee down, but in here you are. You're called the son of a what by the so-called president of the United States. So I admire these people. I mean, I've stood and I've put my hand over my heart for my whole life, and I taught in the public schools, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance, which kind of irked me. But anyway, I'm ready to take a knee. I'm ready to take a knee because these men who are black primarily know that it's much less than taking a knee that will get them killed in the United States of America. So don't tell me that everybody is equal and everybody is free and everybody whatever. It's not true.
Jan,
read the article. Read the ESPN article.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jan. We'll find it.
We got to get this last one in. I know we're low on time here, but Bob, go ahead real quickly.
Hey, first off, I am a veteran, and I did put on the uniform for the freedom of these people to do whatever they want. Number two, my point is that blaming these people for being unpatriotic because they didn't take a knee for the flag is kind of like blaming the bus for Rosa Parks sitting in the back of it.
Brilliant.
That
what
really
a perfect
is.
Comparison.
Perfect.
Thanks, Bob, for the call and for your service. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's totally true. And I've heard these stories about the national anthem. Read up on the lyrics and stuff because it really isn't 100%
what we expect it is. We're projecting all of this
right.
onto it. And actually, the whole anthem never gets completely sung. There are a lot more lyrics than what we actually hear. All good points from
and
your
several
callers.
People have said, when you think about it, that pose, the kneeling pose, in religion is you're paying tribute, but in this particular instance, it's defiance. It's almost the opposite of what we know that pose, that kneeling stance to be.
Right.
Isn't that strange?
And I hadn't realized this, but Colin Kaepernick initially just stayed on the bench.
Right.
And then when he got so much heat, then he knelt because he thought, I'm actually honoring service members by doing this, but I'm still rejecting what I believe to be, you know, the problems in our country.
Yeah, yep. Kristen McQuarrie.
What a country.
So true. Yakov Wendyoff. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate
Thanks for
it. Read Kristen in the Chicago Tribune, of course. More after this. It's WGN.